Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, professor of transformational leadership and coaching at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential. And that's what we're here today to talk about, is maximizing our human potential in our work style. And we're going to be talking about our test for personalities and career success. And it's going to help you understand your manager's personality type and the personalities of the people that you work with. And the many personalities there are going to be boiled down today for our conversation into four different primary types. Now, nobody's any one of them by themselves, but by understanding these, we enhance our social-emotional intelligence. We enhance our capacity to understand ourselves. We enhance our capacity to understand others. It helps us learn and grow and to have better careers, rocking careers, careers where we face the challenges of everyday life to become the best team member and the best leader that we can become. So today we're going to talk about how to figure out your personality type. Of course, you can always go online to www.rightliving.com or theheartofthefight.com and take our personality assessment to see if you get it right out of today. But we're going to talk about two primary variables: your thinking feeling scale and your extroversion introversion scale, or your expression and adaptation scale, or your conformity versus your leadership scale, however you want to look at it. We're going to go into these. And do you ever find yourself going nuts with control freaks? Chances are pretty good that you are an energizer, a cooperator, or an analyzer. Or do you go nuts with the ones that are always Susie Sunshine, happy, up, and like they're leading a parade no matter what's happening? Well, then you're probably a regulator, a cooperator, or an energizer. Or do you want to see everything go well and everybody get along, and the energizers put you a little on edge, the regulator and control freaks drive you nuts, and the analyzers who move too slow bug you? Or do you go nuts with those cheerleaders, align a little bit better with the control freak regulators, and enjoy the cooperators who are all low risk with you? Those are the four personality styles we're going to be talking about: regulator, energizer, cooperator, and analyzer. Or you can think of it as cooperator, analyzer, regulator, energizer, care. The care profile is what we call it. The care profile allows you to learn how to care about the people that give you the biggest pain in the butt. We're going to talk about that. We're going to understand that. You're going to learn how to recognize the different personality styles and what it takes for them to work together. And you're going to bring out the best in yourself and your coworkers by understanding these personality styles, because you're going to expect what people can do instead of what they can't do to work with you and have teamwork and people that work well together. But the big idea is social-emotional intelligence. The big idea is understanding personalities. The big idea is understanding not everybody's like you. The big idea is understanding how people are different and what you have in common with them. The nuts and bolts are pretty simple. If you're a regulator, if you're the one who likes to dominate and lead everybody else, you're going to align pretty well with that parade master, the energizer. You're going to go nuts because the cooperators are too easygoing and you're driving them nuts because you're too hard driving. And you're going to be able to align with the analyzers because you both care about accuracy. Starting to get an idea who you are? Are you the one that wants to lead the parade, but you're not so good at follow-through? Then you're probably an energizer, and you align with the regulator's sense of vision. But the regulators are just too harsh and controlling for you. You like the cooperators a lot better because they're easygoing and they understand emotions. And the ones that drive you most nuts are the analyzers because they're too low risk and slow moving. They're afraid of making mistakes, and you, quite frankly, don't care. Cooperators' idea of a mistake is people not being happy and getting along together. So if you're a cooperator, you're a low-risk person who likes other people and wants everybody to get along. You are a low-risk person along with the analyzer who's a low-risk person. You start to identify yourself. You can rank order what's most like you. You're the analyzer. What drives you nuts is making mistakes. You'd rather be late than do something wrong. And you don't care much about time and deadlines. That's something that the regulators care about. But you do care about the task and getting it done, and that's how you align with the regulators. So you align with your low-risk cooperator friends, and the energizers drive you nuts. What difference does it make? Well, if I'm a regulator and I understand that cooperators are going to be turned off by my focus on the task, I'm going to show more caring for individuals. I'm going to understand that they're low-risk personalities who are afraid of the way I want to go after things. I'm going to understand that the energizers like the excitement, but they don't necessarily care that much about the follow-through. I'm going to understand that the analyzers join me in accuracy and task and getting it done, but they really don't like the risk that I go with. See, I don't care if I'm a regulator. I can make mistakes. Same way with the energizer. I don't care. I'm working towards a higher vision. Cooperators and analyzers don't get on their own side enough, and the energizers and regulators need to understand them, give them a break. So understand that, first of all, if you're a regulator, the person who's going to drive your nuts is a cooperator. If you're a cooperator, the person you're going to drive nuts is a regulator. We call those polar opposites. If you're an analyzer, the energizers are going to drive you nuts. And if you're an energizer, the analyzers are going to drive you nuts. That's the other polar opposites. But when we understand our polar opposites and when we understand ourselves, we are much better able to translate, we call it style shifting, into a style that the others will be able to accept. Primary way to succeed with everybody is have a vision that includes everybody getting along, that includes the precision for the analyzer, that gives the excitement of the energizer. Care about feelings. Learn to care about feelings. That's been a tough one for me. So remember, this is all based on, some people are feelers. Those are your energizer and your cooperators. Other people are more thinkers. That's your regulator and your analyzer. Some people are visionary riskers. That's your regulator and your energizer. Other people are low-risk team members. Those are your analyzer and your cooperators. When we understand that a good team has each of the above, then we start working to bring it out in each other and not expecting everyone else to be just like us. When we first developed this care profile back in the early 80s, we studied the stylist at the Paul Glick Salon on Michigan Avenue. It was up above Gucci at that time. And they had a stylist who was only in town 1 week a month. He spent the other 3 weeks in Hollywood working with the starlets and stars in Hollywood. He had a horse ranch in Barrington, and he made a fortune as a stylist. What was his secret? He could shift his style to fit others. Businessman had come in, and he'd immediately hit him between the eyes with the fact that, you know, Josh, you were supposed to come in and see me sooner. You've got to learn to care more about how you dress. And this big-time businessman would sheepishly say, "I know, thanks very much." And then the next person had come in and he'd say, "Oh, it's so nice to see you. I'm excited." That was his energizer clients. And then his cooperator client would come in and he'd say, oh, man, how have you been doing? I've been worried about you since last time. Then his analyzer client would come in and he'd talk about some precise aspect of that person's life. He could style shift. He knew how to work with the control freaks. He knew how to work with the excited people. He knew how to show caring to the cooperators. He knew how to align around precision with his analyzers. And they paid a lot of money to see him. And he was blowing the doors off of his career. So the big idea we're talking about is learn to style shift. Learn to talk the language of the different styles. Learn to be excited with the energizers, excited to see them. Learn to be solid, grounded, and directional with the regulators, and learn to be precise and low risk and easygoing and care deeply about the cooperators. And precision is for the analyzers. We can all learn and grow. None of us is done learning and growing to style shift and coordinate with the other personality styles. So this is going to help you with your work style, your career. Don't hesitate to get online and take our test at www.rightliving.com or www.theheartofthefight.com. We'd love to have you check this out and see if you've assessed yourself well already. Now we're going to go to our callers, and our first caller is Emily. She says, how do I get more power from my extreme personality poles? How do I synergize them? Well, tell us about that, Emily. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, Dr. Bob. It's great to hear from you. I have taken this test, and I am a very high energizer, and right behind it, I'm a high regulator. And I am curious on how to integrate these more, synergize them together in a more interdependent way. I'm usually a leader of a team.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to understand is as a regulator, you're going to be scary to the cooperators. And as an energizer, you're going to be scary to the analyzers. And so you're going to need to make sure that you add some precision for your analyzers, and you're going to need to make sure that as a regulator you create an environment of caring for your cooperator.
Gotcha. I hear you. So reading the care profile book and kind of memorizing that would be key in, as far as learning leadership styles with these different team members.
Yeah, well, with the book, but why not get a copy for each member of the team and have them take the assessment and then have them all start working on understanding each other and looking at where the conflicts are and how the conflicts relate to the personality style.
I might have to do like a little synopsis of the book because my teams change every 3 days. So I have a whole new group of team members every 3 days.
Well, then they can always, if they're up for it, go online. It doesn't take very long to take the assessment. Then you can give them a mini course in how you'd like to really think about working together and really creating the best team experience for each one of them.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to do that. I really appreciate your feedback.
Great. Well, it's nice to hear from you again, Emily. Take care.
It's great to hear your voice, Dr. Bob. Take care, too.
Yeah.
Bye.
And so for everybody, Emily is already ahead of the game. She knows her two primary styles. So we're able to talk about how they're both high-risk personalities. They're both visionary personalities. The regulators are more driving to goals. The energizers are more about excitement and leading the parade. But they can both leave your analyzers and cooperators behind. So she's going to work to be more understanding. Our next caller is Molly. And she says, try as I might, I can't seem to win over a colleague. We're opposite personality types may have something to do with it. So what can I do? Well, talk to me, Molly.
Hi, Bob. So I manage a woman. Hi. And I have been coaching her for about a year and a half as a part of management. I've given her opportunities to do some really neat projects. She's succeeded. I've given her a lot of praise. I wrote her a great performance review. She got a raise through that. And what I am finding is that I still can't seem to get her on board with what I want to do with the team. So what we're in a state of rebuilding right now. We've had a few people leave, which has been good, but we're making some new hires. And whenever we do a debrief on someone that we interviewed, it always seems like she is never satisfied that this person is going to be good enough. And she will say things like, well, we'll wait and see, or we've been burned before, and I just can't, you know, I just don't know what to do about it. And I am a regulator energizer, and I am trying to tell her things like, we got to let go of the past. You've told me you want to change and the team wants to change. Like, this is how we do it, is we bring in new people who we generally like. And sure, it's a risk, but, you know, I'm the manager. I'm the one assuming the risk. I'll deal with the fallout if it doesn't work. Won't you please just do what I want?
So do you like being out on a limb and sawing it behind yourself?
No, I do not like that.
That sounds like you're setting up a fall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So when you tell her that you're going to take the risk, you're going out on the limb. When you tell her to leave the past behind, you're sawing the limb.
Gotcha.
You're dishonoring her low-risk personality, and it rubs you your energizer self the wrong way. And it rubs your regulator, you know, let's get this team going self the wrong way. And you will do well to look at how invalidated you feel when she says that, instead of saying, you know, I feel much more secure with you watching our back.
Yes.
And, you know, at the same time, I want to know that you're going to give these people all the support you can so they'll succeed, so we don't have a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you can tell her of how beliefs lead us to act in certain ways that tend to make people believe, and people are going to think she's not behind them, and so they will oftentimes be afraid of her and fail, and then she can be right about them. Well, we want to make sure she's willing to have people succeed, even though she's skeptical.
Yes. Yeah, that is exactly what I'm afraid of, and exactly what I think I have not been able to communicate effectively to her.
Well, you haven't embraced her personality, which is she's kind of she's a regulator analyzer.
Yeah.
And she's very heavy duty into minimizing risk. And she clearly doesn't believe in her own personality enough to help inspire and lead somebody. So consider her to be your rear guard watching your butt.
Yeah. That reframing is just so helpful.
And the more you ask her what the risk is in projects, then ask her what you think needs to happen to have them succeed, then you'll start harnessing her.
Yeah.
A lot of people think their primary value is to point out problems.
Mm-hmm.
And someday you may be actually able to tell her that you appreciate how she anticipates the problems, but how sometimes you'd really like some agreement from her because it hurts your feelings when she's only seeing the dark side.
Yeah.
To let her know that she's actually having an impact on you.
Yeah. I can do that.
Okay. What was that?
Yeah.
Subdued yeah that I got from you.
No, that was just like a realization of, yeah, I do feel hurt. I mean, I feel like I have invested so much of my thoughts and efforts into helping her and helping her see value in herself where she didn't before. And she's communicated to me several times that she is grateful for a lot of the things that I've done, but it, I am really hurt when she just sees the dark side of everything. And I'm also aware that I haven't been.
I had a partner once who never said anything positive to me, and I was constantly propping him up and doing things that would make him look good. And so finally, one after a couple years of working together and him never saying anything, I let him know how hurt I was, and he looks at me astonished, and he says, "Well, I'm your partner, aren't I?" And you know what? That was all I needed to and I didn't need any more from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I need to hear that too. Well, her version.
Yeah, well, she's telling you that, and she's really trying to do what she thinks her value is, which is to expect the best for the team.
Yeah.
And so for us as leaders to understand that we're hurt, and as an energizer, you're going to feel hurt by the analyzer. As a regulator, you're going to be hurt by the cooperator. She's clearly a low-risk personality that you've nurtured. So she's probably a regulator, a cooperator-analyzer.
Right.
Or perhaps she is a regulator-analyzer. Either way, she sees her value as recognizing risk.
Yes. Yes, I totally see that. Now that you say it, I 100% think that is where she's coming from.
And if you get your team to take the personality assessment, it gives you a common language that makes it easier for you to bring things up and to explain polar opposites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awesome.
Cool. Thank you
cool.
very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Go get them.
Will do.
Okay. Well, we've all got that invalidating person, whether it's a high-energy person or a low-energy person. There's always somebody who can hook us. And if we don't get hooked, it means we're not fully there. Because the minute we get fully there, we start yearning for more, wanting more, we engage more, and we get hurt. And that's how we learn and grow around here, is we get hurt and learn our lessons and become more effective. Our next caller is Drew. He says, "Is there a way I can get in and out of the work mindset more easily so I don't lose energy when it comes to my extracurricular activities?" That is a very curious statement, Drew. Talk to me about it.
Hi, Dr. Bob. This is Drew. Yep. Let's see. I'm a senior software type developer, designer, architect, whatever. And that puts me square in kind of the regulator, analyzer area. So there's days where I'll be really in the zone and focused. And it's been enough years now where after the workday, I'll notice it'll take me at least a couple hours or a few hours to be more personable or basically not be emotionally detached. And so, for example, if I know I have like a first date or something that night, I'll specifically make myself a light work day or like take half day off or something like that to make sure that I'm totally checked out.
But Drew, you're in the bind of living a life of compensation instead of fulfillment. What's in the way of having more nourishing days so that you leave satisfied and fulfilled and ready to play?
Gosh, it's less about necessarily feeling satisfied. I feel satisfied. Like, I enjoy my workspace a lot. It's just a totally different domain than dealing with self or emotions. It's totally in this analytical, technical, mathematical realms.
Well,
it's a very different mentality,
I
would say.
I believe you believe that, and I believe that belief makes it a reality for you. However, I want to challenge your beliefs about how you have to be at work. One of the biggest challenges we run into with people, first of all, is they see work and play as two separate things. For us, work is play for pay, whether it's technical or totally expressive dancing. And so the question is how do you get more fully engaged at work? And how do you bring and integrate your work self into your social life? We live in a world today where people tend to put things in silos, and it's a very common model for young, career-driven people to segment aspects of their lives. Well, none of those aspects is getting fully fulfilled by doing that. It's a very common challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. I'd love to unsilo that.
Well, and given that you're a technical architect project lead, I suggest you turn this into a project that you have more outrageous days in the technical realm.
Okay, I want to work with that for sure. I like that idea. I need to perhaps some more guidance or maybe examples on how that can come to be great.
Well, first of all, do you know that people are more creative and they work better when they're having fun?
Sure, absolutely.
Cool.
Do. Just to be clear, I have fun in my workspace. It's just there's just not necessarily very. I don't feel like it's very. People are emotional oriented because it's very technical.
Well, look, I've coached people from the time they were team leads to CEOs of international companies, and some of the tightest, most technical people in the world need to be loosened up. My guess is that you are with teams of people who have the same limiting beliefs about work that you do.
The specific situation I'm in, I'm actually not around a lot of people at all for the last few months and probably the next couple months. And that's sort of another layer of challenge on this. Not a lot of people right now.
Well, absolutely it does. It certainly does. And there's no way for you to have more human interaction.
Not for the next couple months, no.
Well, that's a drag. You're going to have to bust out of work at the end of every day then. You've got to be ready to explode into relationship and interaction.
Yes, and I guess I feel a barrier going from a workspace that I enjoy to, say, immediate conversation, personable conversation that has nothing to do with this technical world.
You know what? So, we get from one side of a river to the other with a bridge. It doesn't sound like you've bridged your work life into your personal life, and which tells me that you don't really know how to talk about yourself as a work person with another human being so they can empathize and understand what you're working with.
Maybe I find that a tall order.
Well, I was in school in France with the foremost expert in the world in applied Brownian movement. And he and I, do you know Max Escher, where up turns to down and in turns to out in artwork?
Sure.
So we had just been to a Max Escher exhibit, I think at the consulate for the Netherlands in Paris, and it was a sunny day, and we were tripped out on all these mind-bending photos this guy did. No drugs, just photos. We sat down on the grass, and he wanted to explain to me, because he was feeling very alone and lost in a project that he was working on. And he didn't believe he really understood things if he couldn't explain them to a layman. So he spent an hour or two until I finally had the light bulbs go off in my eyes, and he felt the excitement of having come up with his next technical insight that juiced him up. Well, we didn't see each other for two days. He was from Japan. His name was Shigeyoshi Ogawa. He was a professor. And so 2 days later, after two nights, I meet him. And he looks like a wreck, but he's happy as a clam. I said, Shigeyoshi, what's going on? He says, I was so excited that I haven't slept for 2 days, and I figured out the problem. I said, so did I. And he looks at me in total disbelief. He says, you can't possibly have figured out the problem. How did you do it? He said, I said, I just meditated. And he said, well, what was the problem? I said, you made an elementary mistake as you forgot a coordinate. He goes bug-eyed, and he says, I can't believe it, that I had solved the problem. Well, he actually set up the solution by talking to me. So there's a tendency in the technical world to think you can't bridge things, and that's horse manure. If you're willing to really want to be understood, then you need to learn to talk about and bridge your worlds, because life is way more fulfilling when we bridge our worlds. We get more creative. Our personal life and our work life become more dynamic. Our dream life picks up. We start solving even more problems in our dreams. And the whole thing, you know, gets going. And with the solitary existence you're leading right now, that's all the more need you've got to bust loose. But not to leave it behind. To take it with you. And insist on being understood for whatever it is that you're facing, whoever it is you're pissed off at, in whatever part of the globe they're in, to just talk out your own experience. Because the human experience is common, no matter how technical what you're doing is, no matter how relational what you're doing is. We all basically are feeling machines. How's that for a challenge?
That's great. I can. That story is great. I can relate absolutely. I like that. It's a theme of bridge building will be really helpful.
Yeah, and expecting people to understand your challenges, so that during the day while you're sitting there alone, you are anticipating how you would share with somebody what's pissing you off, what's frustrating, what you're delighted in. Explaining to somebody a really brilliant solution you came up with, a knotty problem you're up against, and expect them to actually care about you.
Yeah, that's helful. Just that having maintaining that attitude that the bridge will be there and will be available, and that just the anticipation of that in a way like projects that and even makes it possible for that moment in the near future.
Exactly, and they will start expecting more of you, and relationships will deepen, and mutual understanding and mutual appreciation will expand as you stop segmenting your life and bridge to relationship with people. But I got to warn you, some people won't give a shit about you, and you're going to need to switch your teammates in life and get better teammates that really care, that really work things through with you.
Do I hear then that it's something, an indicator to look out for if someone either backs away or is disinterested, to sort of take that as a indicator? Yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, you may need to ask them, because some people are going to start out ahead of time with a belief they can never understand. Some people automatically bring their own. Yeah, they bring their own insecurity to these relationships. So you always want to say where you feel hurt, where you sense that they're not interested, to do a reality check.
Yeah, that's helpful. I feel like a lot of people have a preconception that they don't have access to some realm or idea, even though they even haven't heard it or heard any, you know, anyone trying to offer it to them.
Yep. And so you will have an increasing drive to be understood, and you'll find that your mutual understanding with people increases.
Great. That's awesome.
Thank you very much, Drew. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
Okay, bye-bye. So, we're talking about bringing out the best in ourselves, energizing our lives, and igniting our world. Just think about how Drew is going to ignite people out of him being more energized, expecting more, and how Molly is going to be feeling stronger and stronger as she gets on her own side in the face of somebody who has a different set of values. And Emily's going to be able to bring everybody along with her. So bring out the best, Blog Talk Radio. That's what we're about here, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join rightliving.com. Send any questions you have to hello@rightliving.com. We may even put together a program just around your question. So expect more of us, and you'll get more. Expect more of life, you'll get more, and you'll give more. Energize your life and ignite your world. Thanks for joining us.